Hey, everybody, Stu Smith here with another Tactical Fitness Report, and we have Jeff Nichols back. It is so good to see you, Jeff.
It's good to be here.
I think everybody thought we were broken up after it's been so long. You know, it's been several months. You know, you've been busy. Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah. We finished one of our classes. Like, I'm just kind of like in a dead zone when we're with a guy. Rightly so. Like, they've earned our attention, and we give them everything we can. I'm tired at the end of the day. So
yeah,
we don't need to get a catch up, but it's good. Yeah. Now we have topics to catch up on.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Cause you know, we obviously have a lot of people in the pipeline and various pipelines. And yep. Things happen when you're in the pipeline. You know, people get hurt. People get, through no fault of their own, you know, accidental injuries, overuse injuries, they get ill.
Stress injuries.
They get sick. Yeah, stress injuries. And they fail things. You know, sometimes they just don't meet the standard, right? We had one of our guys fail the treading, got rolled, practiced treading, came back, got back into it. You know, we've had guys get hurt. And, you know, in fact, I have a guy that just had back surgery that was in the Q course, right? So these things occur. And I too was rolled. I was rolled in third phase, and I've seen people screw up being rolled, and I'll kind of get your feedback on this too. Is that I've seen people get rolled, they get depressed, they're not with their class. A little bit of that happened with me. I was a little bummed because I made it all the way up to the island, and then, you know, everybody left, and I was like, oh, this sucks. You know, it's kind of bummed out, and it took me two classes to get better. Yeah, you know, this knee injury. But I came back stronger, right? Like I was having a hard time like meeting that standard, because this knee injury was one of those nagging knee injuries, and it was like 29 minutes was getting harder I had to dig deeper a little bit. And then you know, by the time I finished the roll and was practicing, you know, still working on my cardio, a lot of non-impact stuff, I actually came back. I was 3 minutes faster on my fastest 4 mile timed run, you know, so it's, you can take advantage of these roles and come back in a lot better shape. I think a lot of people don't, and they just wind up getting rolled and either re-injured or they start failing the standards and they're out of there. But what are your experiences that you've had with rolls? I know you brought up this idea, cause a lot of your, students are in the pipeline right now. Are you seeing some people getting rolled as well?
Yeah. So kind of like, that's been the impetus, right? Is like, you know, I wasn't entirely aware of this situation in the years past because we didn't have so many people in the pipeline, right? Like with our business being what it is now, that's, we're basically following your footsteps in that sense. Right. And so now we have that population of people that kind of reports back to us and gives us some information on what they're dealing with. And that comes to be like a lot of really high performers, because we're talking about guys that are getting hurt that we know are high performers, and because we train them and we have not expectations of them to succeed in the sense, but just like when guys get hurt or they get psyched, for example, it makes us question, go, okay, well, like I know that guy it wasn't a physical thing. And so the impetus, like I said, was we had a couple guys call that we super high performers, and we've been kind of, you know, texting back and forth through the first couple weeks of Buds, and a couple of them that just, it happens, man. And it's okay. Like they got stressed out, like they're performing great, but like it gets sometimes even really high performers. And he had a history as an athlete of always getting nauseous before the baseball games, and then he'd purge and it'd be better. And so he was experiencing that at Buds, but we all know that baseball probably very likely is not nearly as stressful as SEAL training, we'll call it, or SF, or you know, Q course. With respect to baseball players, there's a lot of stress there, but it's a different mindset with respect, you know?
Yeah.
And so we look at it and go, man, like, you know, he was having, you know, a lot of anxiety week two, which led to loss of appetite, which then also leads to less hydration, which then directly in his case led directly to site by day two of Hell Week. And so it's like, okay, and there's a bunch of people like overstress issues. And these are high performers that we know. And so the question is like, why are these high performers getting themselves in a situation? Is it stress? Is it just, sometimes it just happens, you know? But anyways, I've got a contractor here, the Great Dane. But so that's kind of what it is like. So we want to talk about like what, not we're not going to dissect the issues of it, but I think this is the point for me is like, we want all of you guys that get rolled to recognize something. You wouldn't have gotten rolled if the cadre didn't see something good in you, right? So that's really important. And that's not something to really pat yourself in the back with. It's something to give you ground to go, okay, all right, there's, I know I'm working hard, or they recognize something. So what do you owe yourself? When you do get rolled and you get in that sort of limbo phase, it's sometimes it's just to take a minute to go, okay, give me a day or two to relax, reset, get back into the groove, get back to hydration, get back to sleeping, and then assess. And that's kind of what happens. Then they reach back into Stu and I, and we help formulate a plan. Because from the way I understand it, for Bud's as an example, is if you get rolled, you're not really with a class, but you're not separated from the community. There's just this point where like you're kind of on your own to continue training until you get assigned back into another class. And so like that's the question, like what do we have people do, you know? And this is Pandora's box, but what advice can we offer guys if you get rolled? And this is general stuff, and that's kind of where this comes from. And you know, my experience being I was never rolled, and I have friends and stuff that got rolled into the class, right out of the class, guy, you know. And that's the thing, is you recognize if you get rolled that that's a good thing. Right. It might be just like Stu said, it's super frustrating, especially the third phase, man.
Oh, man. Woo! Yeah. You're so close.
So, yeah. So that's the first thing, is like stop for a minute and don't devalue yourself. Don't go, oh, shit. And things like, yes, it sucks. It must suck terribly. But the alternative is way worse than getting dropped.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely work on any weaknesses. This is the time to work on any weaknesses, right? But you also have to maintain the basics, too. You have to maintain, you know, whatever cardio base that you had going in, maybe even improve it if you can. You know, you may have to resort to more non-impact activities, which is fine. You know, basically turn your mode of training that to like a triathlete. You know, 2/3 of your cardio will be non-impact cardio.
Yeah, right? High and skill, right? Yeah. That's the big thing, is like when you go back in recovery, just like, and that's just great that you said triathletes, because triathletes are very technically minded, right? Like they know that they need to be able to ride the bike efficiently. They know they need to have to swim efficiently. And that should be your mindset. It's like, when I'm trying to recover, I need to do it in an efficient manner. And not just, oh, I'll get back into it and punish myself because I need to get tougher because I feel, you know, I hate myself because I got rolled, you know, and you just self-deprecate and you just create more problems. Don't do that.
Well, I tell you this, you know, you made a good point. You know, one of the reasons why you got rolled is because they obviously want you in the program still, because if you put it this way, you would have been dropped had you not had enough sweat equity into the program, meaning like you get into there, you haven't failed anything, you know, you're crushing something, you know, in the process of, they're like, wow, he's a really good runner. You know, he's going to do fine here. We just need to work on this and this and this and, you know, get him over the hump or whatever, you know, during that roll and get him healed up and he'll come back in fine. But sweat equity is a big one. Like I've seen a lot of people not get rolled because they failed a swim, or they never passed an O course, you know, in time, or they failed a timed run, you know, whatever little thing that you fail that you had to remediate and get back on, that just puts you in a box of like, you may not get rolled.
Yeah.
Right. So you have to come in there like crushing whatever you have accomplished so far within the school. But unfortunately, most people are going to get rolled in those first 4 weeks, you know, between day one and the middle of hell week. That's where most of the rolls happen. Now there's another significant amount of rolls for pool comp, Not so much for third phase, unless it's just pure like overuse pain and injury that may have accumulated, you know, in 20 weeks of training.
Yeah. So I'm going to jump in like on this. So the question I know guys probably have is this. It's like, okay, I got rolled because of, right? The first thing is there is a reason or a couple reasons why a person got rolled. Is it performance? Is it illness? So it's like a test. It's like, why did I got Sipe. Okay. Let's use Sipe as an example. Just why did he get Sipe? Right. We go, okay. It's a stress thing. Loss of hydration, loss of this. And so we go, okay, how do we fix that? Right. Cause it's not about effort. It's not about this. It's like about trying to relax. So, and if someone has like, someone goes, hey, I got rolled because maybe it wasn't, you know, they were one of the lucky ones that they got rolled because it was kind of performance, right? There was an injury link to it. And then they couldn't make the run time, we'll say, right? And so then you got to go, okay, well, he needs to run. It's like, okay, no. Why did his leg, knee, whatever hurt? That's the point of focus, right? It's like, we don't go, hey, I failed the run. I need to run more. Even in that situation, we got to go, okay, why did I? It's like, and this is my point. Cause I would like to make an educated hypothesis. I would say that most people that get injured or rolled, they probably came in moderately overtrained, right? And then that's the risk we all take. It's not a neg. It's like sometimes that overtraining cascades and buds will do that. And then and honestly, a weird thing. So most of these guys that keep that level head and recognize that it wasn't a failure of effort, right? And then they go, okay, it becomes a blessing. It really becomes like, man, I'm glad that Cadre recognized enough in me to give me another chance. So that way I could succeed. So just be mindful of why. Like there, because when you talk to us, we go, why did you get rolled? Is it performance? Is it illness? Is it this? And then we go, why did you get ill? Why did you get hurt? Why did you strain? And that's the question. That's the conversation you need to be having with yourself and your coaches.
Yeah. And then after that, once you've kind of figured out that reason, it's really all about, you know, healing, you know, which is going to require you really nailing down your recovery. So eating, sleeping, massage, you know, whatever else you need to do to, you know, stretching, you know, mobility, flexibility, you know, all those things are going to need to be up on a high level, you know, so you can really address any of those injuries and illnesses that you have to get over. A lot of people get these bacterial illnesses too, called VEGE, where it's just, you're just crapping everywhere evidently. And I never saw that when I was there. I think it has something to do with maybe Tijuana pollution getting into
it's
the water.
It's not getting any better.
Evidently that's a tough one to battle. You know, those take time, you know, those beat you up, and just realize
antibiotics are nasty too, you know?
Yeah. And just realize too, that when you're crapping like that, you are expelling all of your electrolytes and water at an enormously high rate, you know, which compounds everything that we're talking about. You know, now you're dehydrated, you have low electrolytes, your muscles aren't working right, you know, everything's off. You're probably going to become a heat casualty, you know, and if these things aren't addressed, it gets worse. You know, it creates, you know, like that Sipe stress we were talking about. And then, you know, the grand finale is rhabdomyolysis. You know, it is literally a giant snowball that just keeps on going if you're not on top of it. And it usually starts with that low hydration, electrolytes, heat casualty, Sipe. You know, sometimes Sipe comes first. So, you know, it just doesn't really matter. It's kind of a mess. And you just have to do whatever you can to, you know, one, avoid that. But if you can't avoid it, make sure medical knows, because last thing you want to do is wait so long that you're rolled with all of those things. Now you're a heat casualty. Now you got rhabdo. So you're susceptible to those two things again, you know, throughout your training. And that's going to go into whether or not they keep you or not. You know, they're going to say, well, he's got rhabdo. He's got a heat casualty. You know, for the next year, he's going to be susceptible to those ailments. You know, is it worth keeping that person?
Right.
You know, and I get it. Going to medical is kind of like rolling the dice. You know, you never know what you're going to get, you know, is this going to be considered a nonverbal DOR? You know, is this going to be considered, you know, you almost know you're going to get rolled in this situation when you go into medical like this. And it's not a comfortable decision to make. Eventually, you know, if you just keep pushing it, somebody's going to say, you're out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
you'll get so
you're
sick
getting everybody
so
else sick.
Behind. Yeah.
Plus, you don't want to get everybody else sick.
So now, just this is a good point to pause and go, like, there's one common thread in all of this stuff, right? If you're a terrible performer, this isn't about you, right? Mm-hmm. If you're a high performer and you get sick and hurt, this is about you because, yes. And that's the thing is, this really comes down to what you're putting in your mouth. Right now, we can't affect Tijuana, right? Necessarily. But what we can affect is all the things we keep talking about. It's like, how do we fight inflammation? It's through the stomach. How do we fight off illness? It's through the stomach. How do we work through hydration? It's through the stomach. Like, it's all of that thing, right? And then we go, well, where is the first physical manifestation of stress? In the stomach. So, right? There's a lot going on here, right? But it's all stomach. And that's why the best way to deal with stomach issues is, like Stu said, right away. Like, don't wait, because it's not, the human body's got to run its course. Cause like you're saying, that massive diarrhea expelling, right? What it's really expelling that's most traumatic to your body is all the bacteria necessary to create a healthy gut. Your body's expelling everything, the good bacteria, the bad bacteria, everything. And now you don't have a population of healthy stomach bacteria. So what are you going to do? You have to repopulate that stomach bacteria post antibiotics. Well, how do we do that? Right? Like, it's a very simple thing. It just takes some time, right? It comes down to the food you put in your body, specifically the liquids and non-processed foods. Because if you're introducing processed food into a stomach that has very low gut biome, it will get worse. Diarrhea will get worse, 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 worse. Okay. So that's why we don't want you eating processed foods, right? We want you eating foods that are high in collagen. We want foods that are high in antioxidants. Lots of fruits, lots of vegetables, lots of fiber, no processed foods, lots of lean meats, right? You can get genres of food that pickle their foods, like a lot of Korean food, kimchi, right? Those sort of things, those that will harvest healthy bacteria in your stomach, okay? So doing a probiotic will do absolutely nothing for you until you've established a healthy gut, right? If you have an unhealthy gut and you add a probiotic or a prebiotic, your body's just going to poo it out. We establish a healthy gut by the food we eat. So that's the first thing I tell people is, once you're getting past like the real violent diarrhea and the nausea and the lack of appetite, the first thing you should be doing is trying to repopulate your gut with healthy food, right? Because that healthy food gives the body an opportunity to heal instead of not repopulate gut bacteria, and then it just diarrhea persists, and you just see your body weight drop, and then you are a loss. You're at a loss then, and then it's cross your fingers, you know, go to supply and get a magic wand. I don't know, pray. Those are your three options.
Yeah, you're gonna have to. It becomes a real gut check then.
Yeah, pun intended.
You know, we had the tactical dietitian on here.
Susan, recently, she's coming
great.
Down here in a few weeks.
Yeah, she's great. We talked a lot about the gut biome, prebiotic, probiotics. You know, it does come down to what you eat. So just to give people a for example, Jeff, what are you eating that's good for your gut, like on a daily basis?
Yeah. Well, every single morning, I start my day off with Athletic Greens. Like, that's kind of like my coffee. So I start right away with a micronutrient that's specifically geared towards that. Just let's establish a morning with straight antioxidants, man. And so then again, then I cut out. I don't have any, my mornings are so important because I'm refueling from my fast. When I sleep, I'm sleeping, my breakfast, I'm breaking that fast. So the first thing I introduce is lean protein. I eat eggs, right? And then I introduce like either potatoes or I'll introduce oatmeal, right? Now I've got a healthy gut. So those are the big things. Each meal, I try to make sure that proportionally I have at least 4 to 6 ounces of fruit and vegetables. So there we go, right there. Like I said, I try to minimize my processed food. Yep. But again, anything that grows from the ground, right? Or grows from a tree or grow whatever, like that is the stuff that's meant to kind of stabilize our gut. And then we need to add the additional fuels, the proteins and carbohydrates. And that's the thing is stay, you know, I'm a big proponent, especially during buds initially because of stress. I'm not a big fan of milk, but I'm not going to demonize it because some people are really tolerant of it. But in these really high stress situations, a lot of dairy can create a catalyst of more bad bacteria that we don't want in stress. Hmm. Creates a lot of mucus and some things in that high stress.
Sure.
So maybe if you're experiencing a lot of like GI distress or you get like heartburn, diarrhea, indigestion, acid reflux, stuff like that, you might want to stay away from dairy. I would say definitely processed food and stay away from sugar, high amounts of sugar. It's not, I'm not trying to demonize it, but what we're trying to do is fix the gut. So then, yeah, you go back, you feel great, man. You want to, you know, drink a freaking Dr. Pepper at the end of the day. Awesome, man. Your body will use that sugar immediately. You know, so like this is where it's a conversation, guys. And that's where Stu and I have been really fortunate because we have guys to have these conversations with, and, you know, we have the answers. I believe that, but we just need to have a conversation with you to help you.
Yeah. I'm very similar in my mornings. I do the Athletic Greens. I put in a little scoop of like collagen protein as well. And then I mix that with almond milk.
Yeah.
So, and I just shake that up with almond milk. Cause I'm with you. I get kind of mucousy when I drink milk. Do the same thing, big salads. One thing that I have learned over the years is that something that irritates me, and I think we all have to kind of go through this journey, is if I put on any type of Italian dressing or anything like that, I will taste it again later, right? It has a weird way of like coming back and like,
yeah,
you know, especially if I'm doing a later afternoon workout or something, it'll come back to haunt me. So Jeff's right. Last thing you want is to have heartburn. You know, I actually had heartburn in Hell Week.
But that was the worst thing like, for me in all of Buds.
Yeah, 18 hours straight of heartburn. Because we had this MRE, and I think I had like some kind of Mexican breakfast, you know, something weird. You know, yes. I was eating like this Mexican meal for breakfast in the surf zone, right? And it was just, I tasted that for the brutal. Next. Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, so that, because I remember that was the biggest, that was the worst. I was bent over in the surf zone once in so much pain. And then the cadre, they're like, suck it up, Nichols. Your rash isn't that bad. And I was just like bloody, right? I was like, it was like the last night of hell, like the second to last night. And they had to pull me off and they had to give me injections. I was like, I couldn't stand up. My heartburn was so bad. And it's just, that was the worst thing about Hell Week and Buds in general was heartburn. And then
yeah. It took me about 2 weeks before I could like swallow without pain.
Yeah.
It irritated my esophagus.
Well, I think too, you're aspiring all that salty air too, right? So it's an additional dehydrant and you're ingesting sand and water constantly and salt to Hell Week. And it's beautiful. Hell Week does exactly what it's supposed to do, is create so much stress. It makes you question whether you want to be there. It's going to be there, guys. We don't want any of these things to go away. We want you to be stressed out. We want you to experience this stuff because now you get full benefit of the experience.
That's the test.
That's it, man.
That's the test.
Yep. So I think that, you know, there isn't a million reasons why people tend to get rolled, right? Because if there were, you know, it'd be beyond, like, it'd be just a bunch of people that weren't performing and still getting another chance. Right.
Right.
So what I'm saying is like we could probably categorize reasons why people get rolled within like probably only 5 to 7 reasons consistently. And then there's some outlying reasons, you know, but typically these reasons of being rolled, I think, and guys, like I said, it's not about being a bad performer. It's just stress got the best of you. You're a high performer. It compounds, man. Like, you want to do well, you're there, your dream is right in front of you. All this stress that we place upon ourselves, it's so natural, that environment. But sometimes, even in your own self, man, you might be by, just say it to yourself, admit it. Like, if you just admit, like, you know what, like, yeah, Bud's fucking tough, man. Like, this is bound to happen. Oh, okay. Well, if this is bound to happen, then this is kind of normal. And if this is kind of normal, then I can deal with this.
Yeah. I think there's two things that you need to differentiate. There's the white shirt rollback and there's the green shirt rollback. One obviously has more sweat equity in the game than the other.
Yep.
And a white shirt rollback usually means you're going to have to redo probably the hardest 4 weeks at Bud's.
Yep.
You know, when we're talking about logs and boats and, you know, all the pool skills that you had to perform, and then of course Hell Week itself.
Yep.
You know, that is a lot of stress. So if you're a white shirt rollback, made it all the way up to Hell Week, you get rolled for whatever reason. Let's say you got sick, right? You're going to have to redo all that you just did. And that's a big pill to swallow, right?
That's a lot of stress.
You know what's coming. The good news is, you know what's coming. You've handled it before. You might have a little more confidence. You can help your next class go through a lot of that. So you got to start picking out the positives of this.
Agreed.
versus feeling like, oh, I got to go through log PT again. I got to do 4 mile time runs. You're going to have to do 4 mile.
You know, it's coming. Like, it really is an advantage. Like, your observation on this, I do recall the guys that got rolled into our class, as white shirts, there was this real sense of like, okay, I know it's coming. It's kind of like, yeah, it's going to suck. But a lot of those guys just went inward and they're just kind of like, okay, this is going to suck, but I know I can do it. And like, they just had, like, a lot of us, you could tell, were like, this is crazy. What's going on? You know, but those guys were just like, I know what's going on. I'm going to shut my mouth and just like, let it pass. So there is a bit of an advantage that I think emotionally, if you allow it, like,
true,
just what soon, like, yes, we got, accept it. It sucks. You got rolled. Don't linger. Put it aside. You have enough time to put it aside and refocus and go, all right, I know it's coming. Now I know I can emotionally prepare for it. And I have an advantage to that. You do. It is. It's an emotion. Yeah. Is it physical work? Yes. But that's what Bud's is.
Yeah.
Bud's isn't about like, who's the most physical. Okay. Yes. There's a component to it, but it's he who endures the emotional component the best. And that's your test. Like, that's your karma. That's your plight. That's what you want to call it. It's like, you got rolled. That was your destiny. That was meant to be. You're exactly where you're supposed to be right now for whatever reason, but you're there. Take advantage of it.
Yeah. You know, that's a really good point. You know, and once again, you know, you coming into that class, that new class of everybody's anxiety is up high. You know, they're about to start day one of first phase. You know, and you're just kind of sitting there chilling, but you can really do some good for your entire class, but especially your boat crew. You can talk to all the members of your boat crew, get them, say, here's how we're going to do this. Here's what I'd recommend. Yeah. You know,
because you've dealt with room inspections, right? You've dealt with helmets. You've dealt with stuff that is not new to you. And that, right? What, because then if you take the mindset and go, hey, I'm not far removed from it. Let me rewind my mind out 8 weeks and I go, holy crap, I remember being under the log going, this is terrible. Now that's gone. Like, I've been there. I know there's the expectation of the fear is gone. Now it's just the anticipation of the work.
Yeah.
I'd rather anticipate work than fear the outcome.
Absolutely. And you may have picked up some techniques that you can share, you know, that's
amen.
Make the journey a little bit easier, a little bit smarter, you know, versus harder. And
yeah, the journey's only going to be harder for yourself if you allow it to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. It's on you.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. And then the green shirt rollback, that is usually an overuse injury or someone who failed something, a tactical test that they could not learn and perform to standard.
Right.
This usually, you know, I've seen like land nav in third phase. I've seen pool comp for sure.
Yeah.
The weighted tread.
Yep. Do they still do the lead and slate, like the lead and slate, like after Hell Week?
I don't think they do that one anymore.
Okay. I don't think they do.
I mean, they could. I just haven't heard about it.
Yeah. I would imagine that's probably something that's not around anymore because of sonar.
Yes. That's pretty old school frogman drill.
Yeah. We have fucking handheld sonar around. You know? It's like, I don't need lead and slate, you know? Yeah. But it was just torture. Like, we didn't need it then either, but it was just like a matter of torture, you know?
It's like, hey, it's fun jumping off a speeding boat. Yeah, it was fun jumping off a speeding boat into the water and getting picked back up with the little loop.
Yeah, that's
about the best part of that week.
That was it. Yeah.
Cool, man. But no, I think this is a good one. You know, the biggest thing, you know, what being rolled back is for is, you know, licking your wounds, practicing anything that you struggled with. Yeah, and just get ready to be an asset to your class whenever you go back in. I think those are the big three things you need to do.
It'll probably be the only time it buds to that point where you can like take charge of it, right? Because it's not new to you. You know, the point beyond that will be, it won't be new necessarily, it'll be new too, but you know, I agree totally with Stu. Is like, the cliche of take it a day at a time is important, and you know, rest, recover, hydrate, all that good stuff. And it, you know, now, you know, you guys can communicate through us a little bit too. It's like, I'm not trying to get in the business of buds or nothing. Like that's really for buds, and that is handled. Like buds is handled. Buds doesn't, when you're in buds, you don't need me. Like I've already done what I needed to do.
Yeah.
But like, having a conversation of like, hey man, like properly hydrate, properly heal yourself. That's the information we think that, you know, you can disseminate as a leader too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, every few minutes, somebody should be yelling, hydrate.
Yeah. Well, hopefully guys, this helped you. I mean, if you have questions now, use this video to help direct your questions. Cause that's what we're going to ask. We're like, why'd you get rolled? Was it performance? Was it health? Like, how do you feel? Like, how was your hydration? Was your sleep getting worse and worse day by day? Like, were you aware of your hydration getting worse? Like, you know, did diarrhea show up and you didn't address it till 2 days later? Like, that's important. And it's not meant to make you feel bad or vulnerable. It's meant to go, I got to learn from this, because if I don't, that which I just, all the blood, sweat, and tears I've done is going to be, you know, the mystery if I'm going to make it. So to eliminate as much of the mystery as possible.
Absolutely. There's a level of self-care that goes into completing these programs that is definitely next level that you may have not ever had to address before because of all the stress you're putting on your body. You have to really actively pursue recovery.
Yep.
I mean, 100%.
Every single day, guys, here's my every day at Buds, whether you feel it, don't feel it, think it, don't think it, at the end of every day or throughout the day when you can, you need to treat yourself like you're sick, even if you're not, right? Your importance is to hydrate, is to sleep, is to keep quality food down, is to work on breath practices and learn to relax when the day is done. Assess it, be proud of yourself for a minute and go, yep, fuck yeah, I did it. Move on, right? And do it again the next day.
That's a really good point, because I've always said, you know, if you need to treat dehydration the way you have the flu.
Yes, 100%. You bet. Right? Diarrhea, I mean, all that. Yes. Yeah.
Electrolytes, water, slam it, right? So yeah, that's a good idea. Just treat yourself like you're sick
all the time. And then it becomes habit when you're there. And now you have just established When stress comes, I address it through the human body and my emotion, and it will serve you in SQT. It'll serve you when you get to the teams, and it will serve you on deployment.
Yeah. Nah, great advice. Great advice. All right, folks. So this is Stu Smith, Jeff Nichols. You can find more information about Jeff Nichols at performancefirstus.com. You can find more about cows and cardio at stusmithfitness.com. And, you know, feel free to keep asking questions because, you know, your questions become topics like this. You know, it just so happened we got a rash of, you know, people rolled type questions. You know, we also got a rash of people getting shin splints, you know, 1 month in the spring because why? Everybody started running a month ago. Now they have shin splints. So, you know, so we will do topics.
More topics on the way.
More topics to come. Yeah. But they're usually created through your questions. So please feel free to keep asking questions. Even dumb ones. We'll tell you they're dumb, but
there might be some gold in those dumb questions though. Cause like if the dumb question gets asked enough, there's commonality and go, maybe it's not a dumb question if it's common.
That is true. Good point.
No. I'm right, just Jeff. Trying to be optimistic.
Yeah, me too, Jeff. I'm in a good mood today. So I like dumb questions. That's what I'm going to end it with. All right. All right, Jeff. Until next time, my friend.
All right, brother. I'll see you soon.